Let's get to Tom Appel. He is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, contributed to their Daily Drive blog. He joins us once a month. You can check him out at consumerguide.com and follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. That's car_guy_Tom. And we welcome Tom Appel back to the show. Hi, Tom.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am good. I'm good.
Welcome. Welcome back to the show. Before we, because we're going to break here in a couple of minutes, tell everybody what you are currently driving.
Oh, well, thanks for asking. I am driving the 2016 Infiniti QX60, which is Infiniti's midsize crossover.
And what do you think?
I like it a lot. This is a nice crossover. It's not especially sporty, but it is very luxurious. It is a 7-passenger, largish midsize crossover. They start around 45 grand. The one I'm driving is loaded to 60 grand. Rides nice. It's quiet. Very smooth, very refined.
Oh, all right. Very, very cool. And tell everybody about Consumer Guide Automotive. Give them the one-on-one on that.
Yeah, Consumer Guide Automotive. We've been around since 1967. All our new car and used car reviews live at consumerguide.com. We try to have some fun with automotive news, and that's at the cgdailydrive.com blog.
Right. And anybody has any car questions or automotive questions, feel free to call us or text us right now, Tom. We'll be happy to answer them. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Any car and automotive-related question, Tom Appel will help you. Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
All right. Tom Appel is with us. And if you have a car question, 312-981-7200. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. Overnight Radio on 720 WGN. Tom Appel is my guest. He's the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. He contributes to their Daily Drive blog. We're going to get to some of your questions. If you have any car or automotive-related questions, you can call or text us now at 312-981-7200. We also have a lot of automotive-related general stories to talk about as well, as Tom visits every month. And we welcome Tom back to the show. Welcome back, Tom.
Thanks.
All right. We seem to always have at least one story involving a recall.
Yeah.
It seems to happen every time we have you on, there are at least one story. I've got two in front of me here, one involving Subaru and one involving the airbag recall. Let's start with the Subaru story first.
Yeah, the Subaru recall is a fairly rare thing. I think we generally consider Subaru to be fairly reliable, and recall's not among the things we know them for, but they're recalling the Legacy and the Outback. These are 2016, and who knew they already started building 2017 versions of those vehicles.
Yeah.
But it's a fairly serious recall. There was a problem with the steering column, and it may, in fact, break, and you would lose steering control of the vehicle.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah, it's very scary. If you have a 2016 or 2017 Legacy or Outback, you're going to want to call your dealer, see if your vehicle's involved in a recall. A little shy on details. It's not all of the vehicles, but I don't know which ones it is, if it's a certain engine or transmission. So you're going to want to make that phone call and just find out. They want you to park the car. They will try to find you a loaner until they get them fixed. And apparently they're going to have them fixed pretty quickly. It's not that many vehicles. It's 50,000 vehicles total that are involved in the recall.
Okay, so it's about 50,000 vehicles. And will people who own these cars, they should be notified, correct?
They should be notified, but just in case, you can go ahead and call your dealer and they can tell you.
Okay. And again, one more time for what type of cars it is again.
It's the 2016 and 2017 Legacy and Outback.
Okay. 2016, 2017 Legacy and Outback. Call your dealer and find out if your vehicle is involved. And again, it's not a huge recall, but still kind of a dangerous one. I mean, if your steering column goes out,
yeah, potentially serious.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Now let's get back to the Takata airbag recall. We're just talking about this, and it's the biggest ever, and it's just gotten bigger. Correct.
It's just gotten bigger. 50 million more vehicles are now involved in this recall.
Man,
it's a staggering situation. And yeah, it's just more vehicles every time they turn around. Eventually, I think we're going to learn that just every Takata airbag for 20 years is going to be involved. I don't even know where the stopping point is.
Well, explain to people what this is about.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing. Airbags, Takata is the manufacturer, one of the primary manufacturers of airbags for the entire auto industry. There's three major companies, but Takata is one of the biggest. And these airbags, which should be saving lives, in some cases have actually taken a couple of lives. What's happening is that a metal housing that surrounds the propellant, the part that explodes to inflate the airbag in the event of an impact, that housing has corroded in a very few cases. And instead of being forced out of the way, it's shattering. And metal bits from the shattering of that housing are flying forward and hitting people. Yeah, it's tragic. And there was one more death attributed to this recently.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a very real problem. It's rare, it's uncommon, but it is happening.
When did it start?
Wow, I think we became aware of this now. Is it 2.5 years ago?
Wow. And yeah. This is a company that supplies the airbag, so it's not an automobile manufacturer. It's not a car company. It's the airbag company.
It's the airbag company, right. And they've worked with, most famously, it's Honda, now Ford, and most Japanese makers are dealing with this. Some Chrysler, some FCA stuff, but now Ford F-150s are being added to the mix, and that's a lot of vehicles.
Now, how do people find out if they have Takata airbags in their car?
If they're involved in the recall, you can go to safercar.gov, safercar.gov, and you can look it up there. Have your VIN number handy.
Okay, make sure safercar.gov and have your VIN number in case you're concerned. And how is this going to affect? I mean, what's been happening at Takata at the company itself?
That's a great question. I don't see how they could possibly survive this. One of the problems is that they're replacing the airbags with newer airbags that may or may not actually be impervious to this design flaw because people don't know what caused it in the first place. So it's entirely possible, although we don't know this for certain, that the replaced airbags may have to be replaced.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, so what's been happening so far? You know, it's been 2.5 years. So how have they been dealing with these recalls? How have they been dealing with the damage that has been caused by this problem?
Yeah, what's been happening is the airbags have been replaced, but it's taking forever because it's just so many of them that Takata has actually contracted the assembly of these airbags from other companies to help ramp up. And, you know, other airbag suppliers don't want to get into this because they don't want to deal with this design because they know it's problematic. So it's been messy, and I don't see that Takata is going to survive this, actually. What's probably going to happen is that the auto manufacturers are probably going to have to prop up the company until everything's replaced and then let it die peacefully.
Oh, man. Now, so other airbag companies don't want to get involved, so like the replacement airbags are going to have to be provided by Takata?
Yeah, they don't want to start building those particular airbags for a bunch of reasons. You know, the liability, the potential liability. They don't want to deal with that design. So, yeah, it's really messy.
I mean, don't you think, the car companies and the people who own the cars that have these airbags in there are going to be a little bit leery of taking another airbag from Takata?
I would think so.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people are thinking about it that far, but, yeah, why am I going back to them for another airbag? That's a great question.
Well, I mean, that's like I always think, you know, whenever there's like a – I always think to myself whenever like a plane has to be – you know, like I was on a plane once in New York coming from LaGuardia and I was coming home to Chicago. I'm terrified to fly, Tom, terrified. And so we take off and I'm like losing my mind and we're up in the air and suddenly we hear the captain says this. The captain says, attention passengers, there's a problem with the plane. That's exactly what he says. So now I'm terrified of flying, so I'm freaking out. And he says, we're going to have to return to LaGuardia and land and fix the problem. And they, you know, basically what happened was the cabin could not be pressurized. So we turn around, we land. So I go straight to the bar at this point because I just don't want to, you know, I can't handle it anymore. And then, you know, about an hour and a half, 2 hours go by. And then finally they say, okay, you can get back on the plane. It's fine. Now, I don't know about you, Tom. But, you know, just like this airbag thing, I don't think I want a Takata airbag, and I don't want to get back on that damn plane. I'd like a new plane. So that's, I think, some of the thinking. You know what I mean? That's the first thing I thought. It was like, why am I going to get an airbag from the same company that almost killed me with the airbag?
Yeah, I don't know. The only reason at all is simply because there's no choice, unfortunately.
Right. Right.
Yeah, but that, yeah, if you had the option. Yeah, I think voting against Takata would be a safe bet.
All right, Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
All right, Tom Appel is with us. Everybody hang on. We got some people on the line who have car questions. You have any car or automotive-related questions, 312-981-7200. We got some more news stories to talk about in the car world as well. Yeah, welcome back, everybody. Hi, Nick DiGilio here. I'm your overnight dude here till 5 a.m. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Our phone number and text number for any and all car and automotive-related questions is 312-981-7200. Phone lines are open. Text lines are open as well. 312-981-7200. Tom Appel is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. He's a contributor to their Daily Drive blog. You can check out consumerguide.com, and you can follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. car_guy_Tom. And we welcome Tom back to the show. Welcome back, Tom.
Thanks.
All right. We've got some people on the line who have questions, and I know some texts are coming in as well. Are you ready?
Sure.
All right. Here is Glenn on WGN. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
All right.
Just a quick question as a devil's advocate here. Would it be safe to disconnect the airbag, and or would that make any warranty you have on the vehicle null and void?
But in the question about the Takata airbag question, what Tom? Yeah. How is that work? How's that?
Yeah, I would not mess with the airbag yourself. I don't recommend doing that. Additionally, the odds are you're safer with it connected than disconnected. The odds of there actually being a flawed airbag in your car are very, very, very low, and probably much lower than the odds of you having an accident in which an airbag would deploy and save you. So I would leave it connected.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Glenn.
All right.
All right,
thanks.
All right. Take care. Hey, it's a good question, Tom. Some people are like, I just don't want the thing, you know, I don't want the thing to blow up if there's a problem.
Yeah, I completely understand that, but I would not do that.
Okay, don't do that. All right, here's Todd on WGN. Hey, Todd.
Hey, I have a 2010 Dodge Journey SXT I just bought. I was just wondering if that's a good quality vehicle or if there's anything I need to be concerned about. It's got a V6 with front-wheel drive.
Yeah, fine car. I think the 2010 Journey was a Consumer Guide Best Buy at the time. We were always big fans of that vehicle. For people who don't know, that was Dodge's midsize crossover. Still is. And it's a little bit on the small side of midsize. It's a really nice size for people looking for something a little bit bigger than a RAV4 or a Honda CR-V. I like it a lot. Fuel economy is not going to be great, but the power is good, and it's just a really good package.
It's got a bunch of cool features on it, too. It's got a cooler above the glove box, and it's got two coolers behind the front seats, like underneath the feet of the rear passengers. There's actually two coolers. You can put ice in a six-pack of soda in there. Or beer, if you want, but that's probably not a great idea.
No, that's not a good idea, Tom. Not in a car, I wouldn't say. But I like the fact that your favorite feature are three coolers that are in the car.
I just think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it is cool. All right, Todd, thanks, man.
All right, thanks. Have a good night.
Okay, take care. Tom, that's the first thing you look for. Is there a cooler in this car?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Where does the beer go?
Yeah, that's always when I was looking for cars. I'd be like, "When is this? This is a good place for beer here in the back seat."
Yeah, because no one wants to arrive someplace with warm beer.
No, are you kidding? You know, Tom. When was the last time you watched a Cannonball Run?
Wow, it's been a long time.
That movie is a 90-minute advertisement for drinking and driving. Next time you watch it, Tom, watch the insane amount of alcohol consumed in the cars during the race.
Yeah, I do remember this now, and there's no way anyone would make that movie now.
No way it would be made now, especially the Cannonball team of Mel Tillis and Terry Bradshaw. They had the most beer. They loaded up their car. There's like cases, and they were prepping to leave for the Cannonball Run, and it was like 500 cases of beer were being loaded into the car.
See, now I have to watch this weekend.
Yeah. Oh no. Yes. It's crazy. It's crazy that the movie exists. I'll tell you. Hey, listen. Here's an interesting one. Nissan might take over Mitsubishi.
Yeah, that's the story. And it looks like it's going to happen.
And Mitsubishi, I wasn't really aware of this having the same. Similar scandal that VW had, correct?
It's a similar scandal, yeah. It seems to only apply to Japanese market vehicles, but it looks like that Mitsubishi may have skirted certain emissions regulations in Japan and is now in some big trouble. And the interesting thing about that trouble is it drove its stock price down so far, Nissan thought, let's buy it now. Mm. So it's sort of a fire sale on Mitsubishi.
So and how big a deal is this?
It's a pretty big deal. Mitsubishi has very little presence in North America these days. They really only sell two crossovers and one car, none of which are especially popular. But they have a great presence in the Southeast Asian markets that we don't really think about much here in the U.S., but they're markets that Nissan would like to get a stronger foothold in. Additionally, Mitsubishi makes a nice compact pickup that we don't see in the U.S., that Nissan could retail as its own in other markets. So this works well for Nissan. It works well for Mitsubishi because Mitsubishi doesn't have the money to soldier on. They're a little small. They don't have the development money, and they don't have the product. So this could be a good relationship for both companies involved.
Now, can Nissan successfully separate themselves from this scandal?
I think they can, yeah. I think Mitsubishi is going to have to come up with some fine money, enough money that it might have crippled the company. But with Nissan's big wallet, it probably won't have that issue. I think the long-term question is, even if Nissan does this, does Mitsubishi stay in the U.S.? I think that's the bigger question.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and this is a deal that is just being contemplated at this point? And is there any time frame?
The time frame is soon. I believe that the discussions have happened, and right now they're working on a deal on how to swap stock and how to make this happen, all that sort of lawyer stuff. But it looks like it's going to happen.
Wow. Okay. All right. We have a text, Tom.
All right.
From Pat. I'm looking to buy a 2010-2011 Trailblazer. What does Tom think of the car? Also, what recommendations would he have on finding a reputable used car dealer? I see Trailblazers on the lot, but they seem to be overpriced.
Yeah, the Trailblazer is a funny thing. This is back when General Motors was still making what we called SUVs. This was actually an old school body-on-frame V8 engine or big six-cylinder engine kind of vehicle that towed and it had some serious off-road potential. And the market kind of grew past that. We're really into crossovers now. There is a market for the Trailblazer. I'm not a big fan of it right now in 2016. The fuel economy was terrible, and they're a little bulky for the interior space. If that's what you're looking for, if you need the towing capacity or if you need that sort of size, go for it. But I like, there's a lot of other crossovers I like a lot better.
Okay. Bud sends in a text and says, hey, Tom, I've put a lot of miles on my car. In fact, I've gone over 300,000 miles, but the odometer is stuck on 299,999. Is that normal for cars, or do I have a bad odometer?
I have no idea.
That's a lot of miles on a car, man.
Yeah, I don't get the 300,000-mile call a lot. but, no, I think the odometer is broken. Yeah, I think the odometer, because I don't know why it wouldn't just keep rolling up right up to 999999.
Okay. So the odometer might be broke. Wow, that's correct. Tom, what is the highest mileage that you've ever had on a car on an odometer?
Well, my odometer and my Scirocco, my Volkswagen Scirocco, broke at 172,000 miles.
172,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Now, have you seen cars that have? What's the highest mileage you've ever or odometer that you've ever seen?
At our office, one of the women, Becky at our office, took a Chrysler 300M to 200,000 miles, which is almost exactly the time the engine failed.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I'm trying to think of the highest odometer miles I've ever put on a car. I've never even come close to that. Never. I think maybe 70, 75,000.
My dad was good at breaking 100,000.
Yeah,
much more than that. Yeah,
yeah. I think one of my dad's cars went over 100,000. I'm almost sure that my dad busted the $100,000 mark.
Yeah, I remember the whole family getting into the Nova to drive it over 100,000.
And did you cheer when it flipped over?
We did, yeah. My sister and I were in the back seat watching intently.
That's something to do. Let's get the kids. We're gonna watch the odometer turn over to 100,000.
We were gonna get a TV, but this is more fun.
Yeah. Well, you know what would happen nowadays? It's just just get the phone out and video it.
That's true.
Yeah. Just do that. You know, and then you can show it to the kids. Here, look what happened today when I was driving.
Yeah, that's great, Dad.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Leave me alone. I'm playing Warcraft. So, all right, Tom, why don't you hang on, okay?
Will do.
We got some people on hold who have questions. Any car and automotive-related question is good. 312-981-7200. We got some more stories and some stories that Tom wrote on the Daily Drive blog. And that's all coming up. 312-981-7200, Nick DiGilio on WGN. Good morning. Two for Tuesday coming up in a little bit. Get your requests in for Two for Tuesday, man. Yeah. Text them in. DJ Shagru will play your Two for Tuesday choice at 312-981-7200. We are going to be talking about old places that don't exist anymore in Chicago where you used to love to eat, food that you miss, that kind of stuff. We'll get a little nostalgic on that. And I was the one place that came to mind immediately for me, of course, was Franksville, which was located right across the street from Wrigley Field on Addison. Used to go there all the time, and that's not there anymore. So classic place is gone but not forgotten. We'll get to that. And also, we'll try out some fantastic witty pickup lines on Esmeralda, see how well they work. So that's all coming up. Again, Tom Appel is with us, publisher from Consumer Guide Automotive. We're talking cars and automotive. Any of those kind of questions, 312-981-7200. And if you would like to follow Tom on Twitter, it's easy to do. You follow him at car_guy_Tom. That's car_guy_Tom. Tom, welcome back.
Thanks.
All right, we got some texts coming in.
Okay.
How about this one? We got some high mileage texts coming in, Tom.
All right.
I have 765. I have a few cars over 250,000 miles.
Oh.
My 2005 Honda currently has 278,000. Wow.
Yeah, that's a good haul.
815 says we had a 2005. What is it with the 2005s? We had a 2005 Taurus that we drove till last November, and it had 375,000 miles on it.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Sherry says, I'm delivering papers in my Toyota Highlander. It has 193,076 miles on it, and it still runs great. 815 area code, I have a 1998 Crown Victoria ex-police car. Yeah! It has 235,000 miles on it, and it's still rolling. And then 219 says, my Prius just went over 240,000 miles and is going strong.
Well, that's cool about the Prius, and I'd be very interested to know if they're still getting the great mileage or if that battery's starting to fail.
Yeah, that is interesting that the Prius would have that much on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good story.
Man, a 98 Crown Vic. Yeah!
Those should last forever.
That's a
and then parts are cheap because they're everywhere.
Yeah, and that's a car, man.
That's substantial.
That is a car. Not playing around when you're driving a Crown Vic. All right. Here's Nancy on WGN. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Nick. Hi, Tom. I'm calling to ask about if you've heard of the car. It's a Chevy Trax, T-R-A-X.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just happened to catch a commercial the other night with the Chevys, and I just barely caught a glimpse of it, and it looked like it was a small, I won't say SUV anymore, you said a crossover, and I was wondering if that's what it is.
Yeah, the Trax is a new crossover. It was introduced for the 2015 model year. Nice little car. It's available with all-wheel drive, so it's a true crossover. 1.4 turbocharged engine. Good mileage. What I like about it most is really good use of space. It passes what I call the four Tom test. You could put four of me in the car, which is impressive. Really tight.
Okay. That's good. Well, that would, or for me or for my ma, so that would be good. Yeah. Yeah, we're really in the market for a new vehicle, and we really like the Escape. My sister has one, but it's actually too big for us. We don't need that much car, that much vehicle. And I was just wondering, regarding this Trax, it looked like it was smaller. So
is it a Tom? Is it a smaller car? Would it be more appropriate for Nancy?
Yeah, a little bit. That does have a smaller footprint. It'd be easier to park, easier to garage. I would also look at the Mazda CX-3 and the Honda HR-V, which are very similar cars of about the same size. Also, very nice vehicles.
Great. Okay, Nancy, thank you so much for the call. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Tom, you wrote a little piece for the blog.
Yeah.
Six things that you may not know about convertibles. Now, have you ever had a convertible, Tim?
The only convertible I've ever owned was a 1977 Jeep CJ7, which I guess we can call a convertible. It's just sort of a vehicle without a roof at all that you could put canvas over if you chose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. What made you write about convertibles, Tom?
I had the opportunity to meet with some people from a company called Hartz, H-A-A-R-T-Z. And Hartz is one of those interesting companies that's sort of in the background, a little bit like Takata, except they're not being sued left and right. But Hartz, as it turns out, manufactures most of the convertible tops on vehicles we see these days. They're just in the background. People don't know who they are. But if you have a convertible, you probably have a Hartz brand top on that vehicle.
And what are the six things that people may not know about convertibles?
Well, the first one is most of the convertible tops are made by this company called Hartz that you've never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing.
Got it.
But the second thing is interesting that you wouldn't think a convertible top would be especially high-tech, but they're actually made out of a series of very interesting and high-tech materials. They're not just canvas anymore, but there's an outer layer, a center layer, and an inner layer, and the cost and complication has to do with that center layer, and the cost of the top can double or triple based on the vehicle it goes on. So you see these on Rolls Royces, and you might see them on Fiat 500s, and they're actually very different things.
Okay. And what about some of the other...
One of the interesting things that's happened, people might remember this from maybe 10 years ago, but we started to see the first of the hard... top convertibles,
right?
Where there's actually a metal top that came out of the trunk and fitted over the top, and people bought those as being secure. You know, they were theft proof, they were more secure in a rollover. And as it turns out, after some initial interest in those, the public has shied away from those. The problem being that they're very, very expensive, and there's no trunk space whatsoever once the top is down.
Mm.
So those came in with a bang, and they're kind of going out with a whimper. And we're going back to traditional convertible top,
the old rag top.
The old ragtop,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
One of the interesting things about the old ragtop that we now have on tops is that thieves, people who would break into cars, tend not to be able to get through the roof. There's actually metal fibers impregnated in the roof. You can't cut through it. So if someone was to steal something from your convertible, they're probably going to break the side window just like they would on any other car.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah, so there isn't really a security issue there anymore.
Okay, all right. And now sales are on the rise for convertibles, right?
They're coming back, yeah. They took an even bigger hit than did cars in 2000, and just regular cars in 2009. And it took a while, but they're coming back strong now.
Okay, all right. So people out there getting convertibles. All right.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Let's see. 773 area code says, what does Tom think of the Infiniti FX35?
The FX35. The FX is an interesting car. That's changed names now. That's now the QX70. Everything in the Infiniti line is now Q or QX, QX being crossover and Q being car. Interesting car. It's a little bit big. It's in a strange segment all by itself. It's an old body-on-frame style SUV as opposed to a crossover. A little bit heavy. And maybe a little bit thirsty. I'm not a huge fan of that vehicle, actually.
Mm. Okay. And then 224 area code says, what do you think of the 2016 Ford Edge?
Yeah, the Edge was just redesigned for 2016, and they've taken it a little bit upmarket with a top-level titanium model. What's nice about the Edge now is that virtually every safety feature you might want, these obstacle detection, lane departure, and all that stuff, is all available on that vehicle now. You can really load it up price-wise if you wanted to, but it's very roomy, it rides well, and if you get the right engine combination, you can get some pretty good fuel economy, too. I kind of like the Edge.
Okay, cool. All right, I want to before we let you go, I want to briefly talk about the seven most forgotten vehicles of 1990. I always love when you pick a random year and talk about the cars from that year, and these are the seven most forgotten vehicles of that year. And the reason why you chose that year is because the TV version, the TV show of Uncle Buck, premiered on CBS in 1990, and nobody remembers that show.
I didn't know there was such a thing until I was looking for something from 1980 that was forgotten.
Yeah.
I didn't know that there was a TV version of Uncle Buck.
Yeah, there was. I can't remember who was in it. But yes, indeed, there was. It wasn't John Candy. I know that much.
It was a comedian named Kevin Meaney.
Oh, Kevin Meaney. Oh, sure. Kevin Meaney. Yeah. He was a popular guy in the 80s.
Okay.
All right. What are the most forgotten vehicles of 1990?
Among my favorite is a vehicle known as the Daihatsu Rocky.
Some of the names of these cars are fantastic. Tell us about the Daihatsu Rocky.
Yeah, Daihatsu, Japanese car maker. I think a lot of people probably hear that and think Korean, but no, it was actually one of the last Japanese car makers to test the waters in the U.S. But the Hitsu came in selling only the Rocky and the Charade. These are great names.
What was special about the Rocky?
Well, the Rocky was a small SUV with a removable top. It was a little bit like the Suzuki Sidekick or the Geo. There was a Geo version of that, too, and the Geo Tracker. And it was a fun little car. I actually rented one when I was in the Cayman Islands, and it was really a delightful little car, but just the Hitsu had no presence in the U.S. and just couldn't make it happen. It's kind of a shame, but these things are really rare now.
Okay. And that, and what it says here in the piece that you wrote, that there was like a legal issue with MGM UA over the movie Rocky?
Yeah. Yes. At the time, the Rocky franchise was really strong, and they didn't want the Hitsu sullying the name with a small crossover, a small SUV. So, yeah, this is actually held up in court for a little while before
that's
they actually
funny. Actually, all right, what's another one on the list that you'd like to describe before we let you go?
Yeah, a really weird one here is the Mercury Capri. And a lot of Americans might remember the Capri as being a Lincoln or having been a Ford at one point. But there was actually a little car that was designed by Mazda, built in Australia, and sold in the United States as the Capri. Just a little convertible. You might still see them on the road, but you wouldn't know what it is. Just a crazy-looking little car that just got lost in the sands of time.
Any of these things, you ever see any of these in the world, out in the world?
I actually took a picture of a Capri today.
You're kidding.
Yeah, it was on a lot someplace for sale. I was like, wow.
Wow, that's amazing. All right, Tom, always a pleasure. People can check you out at consumerguide.com and follow you on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. Always a pleasure, Tom, and have a great month, and we'll talk to you next time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, buddy, see ya.
Take care.
Tom Appel, everybody. Follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom and check out his stuff at consumerguide.com. News is next.